Hey everybody, this is Andy Marquette, and I am joined by my colleague Lise MacTagg, and we are Les Geek Out! Hey Lise, how is it going?
Can't complain, Andy. How are you?
Sure you can. Do it. Just complain.
Yeah, I mean, my job sucks, and I don't have nearly enough time for writing or the other stuff that I do, and have I mentioned I have two teenagers at home?
But yeah, okay.
I have a wife who loves me, my fifth book is coming out, and for the most part, things aren't too bad.
Hey, I also, you guys, I wanted to mention that Lise's book is coming out. It's dropping on the 14th. Lise, do you want to like tell us a little bit about this one?
Oh, fine. I suppose I should really be getting into the whole marketing of this at this point, right? I mean, it's only coming out in 2 days.
I know, right? By the way, I wrote a book.
Oh, yeah. No big. Okay, so I wrote a book. It's called Demon in the Machine. And it is a lesbian steampunk paranormal with a romantic subplot and some mystery.
Oh my God, you guys. Demon in the Machine. How can you not want to read that?
Yeah, it's super cool. I have a half-demon archivist named Briar and a cat-burgling debutante named Isabella. Oh. And they have to figure out why the heck there's this evilness going on with the new horseless carriages, and if they leave it alone or if they can't get along, is the world going to end? Who knows?
Oh my God, you guys, so awesome. Okay, Lise is doing some steampunk. All right. I was just really excited. I wanted to hear you pimp it because I really, I'm so looking forward to this one. Yes.
Well, you know, what is one more spec fic subgenre, right? I mean, this is my third now, so.
I know, right? Just keep, oh girl, just add some more, whatever. Everybody wants to hear it. I do. Yes. All right, y'all. So got caught up there a little bit. This week, Lisa and I are going to talk about a comic, and we're both really stoked about it, and we just discovered it. It's actually been kind of around for a while, but we both discovered it about the same time. Or maybe, Lise, was this one of those where I, like, turned you on to it?
I actually saw someone posting about it on Twitter.
Oh, cool. So we came to it
separately. Which is how I got turned on to it. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So you guys, this is a comic, and it will appeal to young adults and possibly even younger. I highly recommend it for everybody. It's just that kind of comic. So basically, this comic is about Raven, the princess pirate. What? Oh my God. Like, how can you not, A, want to follow a character named Raven, B, a character who is a princess and a pirate? What the hell? All bases covered. Boom, you're done. Mic drop, go home.
But wait, there's more.
There's so much more. Oh my God. Okay, you guys. So this is indeed part of the Princeless series. It's actually a kind of, it started out in 2014 with a character named Adrian. And it's called Princeless, meaning, you know, you don't need a prince, right? You're a princess. You can do whatever the hell you want. And Adrian had her own thing going on. She is a princess of color, so I highly recommend that series as well. Same writer. And then one of the characters who appeared in that series, Raven Xingtao, she's Chinese, and she's the daughter of a pirate king, was imprisoned in a tower, and Adrian saved her, and then everybody was like, dude, Raven rocks. So, boom, she got her own series. She got a spinoff. So it's the writer is Jeremy Whitley, and he has developed the Princeless series, and the artist is Rosie Higgins, and another artist is Ted Brandt. And I got to tell you, Lise, I love the art in this series. You're the artist woman. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, the art is really well done. I mean, it's sort of simple compared to some, you know, some artists, there's not a whole lot going on in the backgrounds, but that gives for like a really nice, clean look to it. And whoever they have doing the colors does some amazing work.
I agree.
It's really great to sort of watch the colors shift over, you know, across each page. Cause they really do. It's the color palettes change pretty drastically, and so you really get this feeling of like of sense and place and emotion.
Yes,
fabulous.
Exactly. So Lisa and I read the first, I've actually read like most of the available comics, but you know, the way that it works in comics, folks, is that you get a bunch of volumes of like single comics and you bind it together into a volume. So we're going to talk about volume one, which has like four chapters, i.e. four of the comics. But these comics, I thought, went a little bit longer than traditional comics, which I'm totally fine with. And so we get Raven's backstory. She is a child on her father's pirate ship, and it is understood that she will be inheriting her dad's fleet, basically, because that's how it works. And there's this whole story about how the pirateness is basically matrilineal, and so she's supposed to get the ships. But as it turns out, no, her brothers are total douches, and so they take her heritage, and so she ends up having to steal a ship. And this first volume deals with her trying to find a crew. So we have Raven has to like go to the pirate village or whatever town that is and get a crew, and she has to like convince people to join her. And the other cool thing about Raven, other than the fact that she's Chinese, is that she is also a lesbian. So she ends up with like this all woman crew of all different colors, shapes, backgrounds, and sexualities. Please take it away and tell me the favorite part.
Oh, hands down, my very, very favorite part is when she she ends up in this bar to do some recruiting, and it's full of like all these unemployed pirates. And every single one of them is like a different dude cliche. There's the guy who's like mansplaining her culture to her. There's the guy who's like, oh, well, you know, I think it'd be kind of sexy working for a female captain because she could be all stern and then she could be all soft. And then there's the guy who's like, misandry, reverse sexism.
Yeah, because Raven was all like, no.
Just no.
And so he starts freaking out. And then there was the guy, he was like, not all men.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When they basically tell everyone to go home because they're a bunch of knob shines, and he's like, not all of us.
Not all men. # That's one of the really clever things about this series is that it's set in the time, it's kind of trying to evoke sort of an era of piracy. You know, like the classic pirate with the pirate ship and you know, there's like no technology that, you know, we're familiar with. But yet the references are kind of, they're contemporary. So there's sort of this kind of like, it was kind of like jarring to me at first. And then I just started laughing because it was hilarious. And it really just like makes you kind of start thinking about contemporary issues. One of the characters that I think is really interesting is Jayla. And she is the daughter of Cookie, who was the cook on Raven's dad's ship. And then everybody got separated after her brothers were douches. And so she ends up reconnecting with Cookie and ultimately Jayla. And Cookie and Jayla are, they're of color. I believe we could just call them black because, you know, they're not in America. So we can't say they're African American. And she is like a super awesome chemist. And you're going to see that later on, but she's like a science brain. So she has all of these like interesting little quirks, and she's also a hardcore feminist. And she's got a total teen attitude, just like she's like the worst with her dad.
Oh yeah. Watching her and her dad just like face off. I mean, you know that he loves her, but man, he does not know how to relate to her. And he is so worried for her.
It was kind of painful. I mean, going through teenhood is the worst for anybody, and you have teenagers, so you know how crazy it can get. And just watching Jayla and her dad, like you say, butt heads and face off, and he's just like at wit's end. And then dun dun dun, here comes Raven, and Jayla's like, I'm gonna join the pirate crew. That's it. I'll show you, Dad. You're the one who brought me to this loser pirateville. Well, I'm gonna go join a crew. So she totally just like packs her shit, marches out the door, and Raven's just standing there going, awkward.
So speaking of contemporary,
yeah, go ahead.
I just found there's an actual neckbeard unemployed pirate. And he says, "Oh God, you're probably not even a real pirate girl. I bet you don't even know what Captain Fraction's name was before he changed it."
That was so good.
And like, he's doing, like, you know, the whole nerd culture gatekeeping thing. It's awesome.
I love that scene. And one of the other scenes that you and I both love that we talked about was Raven comes to this town. She's like on this ship trying to fix it herself, and she can't. She's like, damn, I need a crew. So this is why she ends up in Pirate Hive trying to recruit. So she goes into the town and she runs into this woman who is like playing her. I mean, I totally saw it a mile away, but Raven's like, mm-hmm. Oh, let me help you. Let me help you. And it turns out this chick's a pickpocket. So she takes Raven's like money. And so then there's this huge chase through the town where Raven's chasing her and won't give up. And there's a scene where the two of them are running through. Was it a house they were running through?
Yeah.
And there's these two young boys and they're playing with dolls or with figures, like action figures. And they're like, I want to be the boy guy. No, I want to be the boy doll. And then Raven and Sunshine, as we find out her name is, run through and they're like all badassery. And they kind of, the young boys like look at each other for a beat. And then they go, I want to be the girl doll. No, I want to be the girl doll.
And what I really love about that scene is, you know, not only is it such a great moment, but that whole thing, like with the boys fighting, is done without, like, I think it has one line of dialogue. I mean, the artist is just really good at capturing, like, all these things that are going on. And, I mean, you know, like any good comic book artist, it's like you don't even mm-hmm. realize that there isn't the text there to describe what's going on and what people are thinking, because mm-hmm. the artist is really just capturing that mm-hmm. in, like, this essence in this panel.
Well, the expressions on the faces, if you go through and you look at the expressions on Raven's face and that, like, okay, let's get into some more drama. This is gonna figure in future volumes, Lise, as folks read them. Raven has a past with a certain character named Ximena, spelled with an X, Ximena, who is a brilliant navigator and cartographer. I mean, the women in this series do amazingly awesome things, but Raven has a past with her. Like they sort of almost grew up together on her dad's pirate ship. And then shit happened, the douchery, and Ximena has been holding a grudge for a while against Raven, as we see. But it's very clear.
Yeah, she pretty much cold cock her, like, right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. She's, you know, so Raven is, like, she's a badass. She's known as the Black Arrow because she's, like, such a good archer. And her dad, the Pirate King, trained her to do these things. So she's a freaking badass. But she's also got these vulnerabilities, which make her so likable. Like, for example, for most of this volume, she's running around with a Band-Aid on her. On her nose because she got smacked. Like, so here she shows up at Ximena's place, and Ximena is like this really beautiful woman, and here's Raven. She's all bedraggled and fucked up looking. I mean, excuse the language, and her Band-Aid, and she's like, hey girl, what's up? I need a cartographer. And Ximena's like, you! Oh my God! You! And so they get into it. And so you see that there's a history here, and that's going to play out through the future volumes. And it also plays into Raven's, like, little insecure crush girl self, because it's very clear that we get a little bit of backstory, and we see how they interacted on the ship as they grew up and became teenagers. And we see that there was more. Raven was, like, crushing out on Ximena.
Oh, yeah. Pretty hardcore.
Right? It was, like, I was just like, oh, girl, she's not that into you. You know, like watching those panels.
Yeah, but, you know, who among us hasn't been there, right?
I know. This is what is so endearing about this comic is that, you know, a lot of times you're just like, there's so much going on and you're just like, oh, my God. And you're looking at different panels. And like you say, the art is, it's good enough to grab you, but it's spare enough so that you focus on the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And the important details in the scene. Yeah. Yeah. The artist really does an excellent job with that.
I want to talk about one of my other favorite characters is Katie.
Yes. I wanted to talk about her too.
Good. So awesome. Take it away. Take it away.
Well, you know, I mean, Katie's like the big butch woman who basically comes on and solves all of Raven's crew problems and then promptly starts a bar brawl.
She's so cool. Do you know who she reminds me of? And we've done the show already on questionable content. She reminds me of Bubbles.
Yes.
It's like, she's physically big. She's imposing, but she's very soft spoken and polite. And she's dressed in her uniform. You know, she's got like her little white jacket, her double breasted, like sailor jacket. And she's just like very earnest.
And she has this group of women that she's collected somehow. It started out as a book club and then ended up as like a game night and fencing and scouting group.
She tells Raven at the bar, she's like, maybe you should get an all-woman crew.
And Raven's like, duh. Why didn't I think of that?
So they go, Katie and take Sunshine with her. Sunshine, who is the woman that Raven was chasing to get her purse back. And so they form like this kind of interesting alliance, these two. But Katie takes Sunshine to the club to get more women for the crew. And I just thought it was hilarious because she's telling Sunshine, okay, hold back. All right, let me talk to these women. I know what's going on. And Sunshine just immediately insinuates herself into a game. And they start like this. It looks like Dungeons and Dragons from that.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a close clone, I would say. Well, and then what's hilarious is that, like, for the rest of the book, whenever you see these women, there are, like, a couple who are, like, off in the corner playing cards or role-playing or whatever. They're just, like, you know, they're just, like, hanging out and doing stuff, like, on the periphery. It's so great.
It was so cool. It was just, like, and then she goes, Katie goes to the, there's, like, a council, an advisory council for this. Was it a club? Is it a, what is this? A group? Remember she went to the three women and she's like, so I really want to get a group together to be on this pirate ship. And they're all like, well, let's talk about it for a minute. And they're all like really easy breezy and affirming. And it just like cracks me up. And they're like, we really think that it should be coming from you, Katie. This is your idea. And we don't want to force people to do anything. Oh my God, it was so good, you guys. So basically, the first volume is Raven trying, by volume, I mean the first collected episodes, the individual comics, is Raven trying to get her crew put together for her pirate venture, which is basically to exact revenge on her douchey brothers and get her rightful inheritance
and humiliate them.
Yeah, she's really into humiliating them too, and they were pretty douchey, I will say. And there's like in the first volume, you'll notice that Raven kind of does a shout out to her predecessors. Did you notice that her great grandmother was her grandmother was really hardcore badass pirate too?
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool and interesting. And in future volumes, you will see a little bit more of her backstory, not too much though, because there's like a lot of drama on the high seas, if you will, in terms of love triangles and and just trying to like figure out where her brothers are and how to get to them.
Well, you know me, I can never have too much backstory.
Right, exactly. I wanted to talk to you about the other really awesome thing about this comic is the diversity of the characters.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, just looking at the back page, I mean, there's all sorts of different body types that are represented. There's all sorts of different, you know, racial and ethnic backgrounds that are represented. There are a couple of pirate chicks with glasses.
I thought that was awesome.
You know, I mean, it's really great. And then obviously with Raven and, you know, maybe with Sunshine, maybe with Ximena, who knows? But there's definitely some queer characters going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the different body types, too. And later on in later volumes, you'll find that there's possibly an asexual character and a deaf character.
Which
is so cool. I mean, oh my God. And I think that's in the next volume, volume two. But in terms of volume one, even when Katie, pirate or sailor Katie, goes to the club, you see like a really wide array of women in those panels. I mean, there's also a Muslim woman, I believe. She was on the council. You know, she was had her hijab on.
That's right. Right? Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, so she was there. So, and again, that was part of this really interesting way that the writer is telling the stories is through this introduction of sort of contemporary issues into a setting that is more evocative of historical. So you kind of have to suspend belief. I mean, because it was a little bit jarring for me when I was reading. I was like, yeah, pirates, ah, arg. And I'm reading through and I get to the scene in the bar and they're talking about using contemporary language and lingo. So it was a little bit jarring. And then I just laughed because I was like, okay, this is really clever. I like what's happening here.
And that didn't hang on me at all, because I'd already gone into it assuming it was going to be more of a fantastical type setting. Mm. And I mean, you know, anytime you have fantasy or sci-fi, you can get away with so much more than if it's just straight historical.
That's so true.
I was like, yes, go for it.
That's so true.
Put those neck beards down.
Not all men.
Pirate neck beard.
Not all men. That was just the best scene, and that was one of my favorites. That, and I don't know, I just keep coming back to the two young boys as Raven and Sunshine are chasing each other and being all badass, and they're like, they just like have this beat where they look at each other, and then it's like, I want to be the girl doll. No, I want to be the girl doll. And it just kind of reminded me of when I went to see Wonder Woman in the theater. And there were so many young boys in the audience, and they left that theater like pretending they were Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything like that, because usually it's like the dudes and then the young girls leave. I want to be like that. You never see young boys like, I want to be like Wonder Woman. God, it was so empowering. I don't know. It chokes me up thinking about it. And this is what this comic does for me. I mean, I don't know what it is specifically, but I really bonded with Raven, the pirate princess.
I think it's, for me, it's one of those things where it's like, we see women doing whatever a guy can do, right? I mean, none of these women are being held back because of their gender. And at the same time, there's not this idea of we have to do it better or we have to prove ourselves. They're just doing it. I mean, yeah, there are a bunch of skeevy pirates in that bar.
Skeevy.
But they're just kind of like, they're just like, forget you. We don't need you. Which is that the greatest part of when Katie's like, why don't we just, or when Sunshine is like, well, why don't you just do all girls? And it's like, well, yeah. So I think it's that idea that, yeah, the women have to do it, but because they want to do it, not because they have to prove something.
That's interesting. I was reading an article on Book Riot about Raven, the pirate princess, and it was published in 2016, which is when Raven, the pirate princess, actually launched. And the author of this particular article, who was Carrie something, Carrie Christ Wagner. She had And she was saying that, this was really interesting, that historically piracy existed as an act of resistance, right? I mean, the dudes who engaged in it were outlaws. You know, you didn't really hear about, you know, actual dukes and barons going out to the high seas to be pirates. This was literally an act of resistance and an act of banditry. I mean, it was highway robbery on the seas. That's what it was. And it,
right.
And this author was saying that it was almost a necessary example of a sub-economy when economies of the world were inherently unequal and exploitive, which I think is a really good point, is piracy was like a black market, basically. And it was a way for marginalized dudes, because it was mostly dudes, to have access to, like, at least a bed, food, regular food, a bed, and some pay, some form of pay. And these are the guys who weren't in the Royal Navy or whatever, you know. So if you think about women being pirates, that is the ultimate act of feminism and subversion of a dominant paradigms. And look at me getting all deep. I don't know, but they're actually. You know, here we've got Raven and Xing Tao, that's her name, and there actually was a really well-known Chinese woman pirate back in the day, and I cannot for the life of me think of her name. I'm going to look it up because Qing Shi, that was her name, and she was literally a woman pirate. That's what she did. She was engaged in piracy back in the day. And by back in the day, I mean like 1755, 1775, somewhere in there, I think. Oh my God. But this is kind of like, I mean, yeah, it's a comic. It's a humorous take. It's Raven's out there like, yeah, I'm going to get a crew and I'm going to like get rid of these douchebags and claim my rightful place in society. But we don't know for sure that's what's going to happen. We don't know for sure that she'll be able to do that. But she's forming alliances with many different women. And so we're going to watch her and her crew learn to work as a team. Mm-hmm. That's really what this is about, I feel.
I can't wait.
Like, so these pirates, I mean, come on. Do you not love pirates?
Pirates are awesome.
And it's so cool when you see it. I don't know if subverted is the right word. Is it? Do you think that's the right word?
With
women taking on that role as a, you know, something that's traditionally male.
Yeah. I mean, in that sense, yes. I feel like I need to read more of it to see if they really subvert the whole pirate sort of trope. But definitely by casting a woman in that, they're well on their way.
Mm hmm. And when I say that I think this is an absolutely appropriate comic for all ages, I mean that because there's no swearing, if that's your thing, if you freak out about that. There are, of course, hints of possible same-sex relationships in this particular volume. So it's handled very, for those of you with delicate sensibilities, oh my God, it's handled very well, but the overlying message here is girl power, ultimately. And what you were saying, I think you said this earlier, what's really cool about it is that nobody like makes a big deal out of it. It's just like, okay, we're going to step up and do this.
Let's just do this. It's just the thing. It's like that scene with Katie's book club and that all those different types of women.
Right. Oh yes.
Because that's what life is like.
Exactly. Oh my God. You guys, this comic is so cool. I freaking love Raven, the pirate princess. Oh my God. Black Arrow dudes. I'm just saying. And it's so cool to just see them like working together and forming, you know, they've just met her new crew and it's awesome. You have to do it. You have to read this comic.
I have to get volume 2.
Yeah, you do. So please take us out of here. Give us some finishing thoughts.
Raven the Pirate Princess is awesome and hilarious. Like, laugh out loud hilarious in a lot of scenes. But also, she manages to tug at the old heartstrings. So definitely pick it up. Check it out. You won't be sorry.
And get it for your kids, if you have kids. And I don't care how they identify. They will find something in this comic that they will love. Yeah.
Get it for your kids and then borrow it for extended periods of time. And then they have to come and ask you so they can have it back.
Oh my God, that was you with Lumberjanes. Whatever.
Yeah, it totally was me with Lumberjanes.
This is like Lumberjanes on the high seas, y'all. Come on. You can't go wrong with this.
Yeah, that's a really good description.
There you go. Friends, thank you for joining us. I am Andy Marquette, joined by Lise McTagg, my colleague for Les Geek Out. Don't forget Lise's book drops in 2 days, Demon in the Machine. Please don't forget that. And catch us later. It's been awesome. We were talking about Raven the Pirate Princess, and you can find that at Action Lab Entertainment, which has some really awesome other comics. Lise and I almost got sucked in. It was close. We had to save each other, but now we're okay.
Very close.
So close. And also check out Princeless, from which Raven is a spinoff, and that'll be awesome. Also, you can find us at the Lesbian Talk Show, and that is at lesbiantalkshow.podbean.com. And also you can find us on iTunes. And you guys, we would so love it if you would like and subscribe and just like... We're trying to find other geeky lesbians like us because Lisa and I are kind of lonely. Right? It's kind of sad up in here. But
it's very sad.
Right? So like and subscribe, and thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week. Thanks, all. Cheers. Okay, that went well.
It did.
Considering
I forgot to talk about that one scene at the beginning.
Oh, the one scene. Damn it.
With the dining room, and
that was
and
so good.
Raven kicks Sunshine into someone's dinner, and they're like, can we have our dinner now? And she's like, oh, sorry, like, it's a pirate town. This happens every other week.
It happens every other week. That was the best. Please, we have to, like, find a pirate town.
Ugh. Well, I need to find a buried treasure to keep me in my graphic novel
first
habit.
First, pirate treasure, then pirate town.
All right.
Boom. Problem solved.